There's something I have to ask you.
May I ask you a question?
That is a question. Would you like to ask me another one?
Well, today we're speaking with Ryan Culbertson. He is a Club K&J member, a Navy guy, and father of six, soon to be seven, right, kids?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, the reason we want to talk to Ryan today is because, Ryan, your wife led us in on a recent career change that you just underwent. I think she left a comment on one of our blog posts, and we thought that your story is one that was kind of really inspiring and would be something that could be hopefully a benefit to some of our listeners, especially when it comes to things like following a dream. So first of all, welcome. Thank you for taking some time to chat with us.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And basically, why don't you just tell us about what you used to do and what you do now?
Okay. I joined the Navy in 1995 as a nuclear machinist mate, and basically what my job in the Navy before was to maintain and operate the nuclear propulsion plants that run the aircraft carriers and submarines. And it was a good job, lots of school, very technical, had a lot of fun working with big machinery and doing that. But my dream has always been to fly.
Sort of like to go Superman, to the Air Force. Huh?
Sort of like Superman. But unfortunately, I don't have that superpower, but I'm working on it. I was going to go to the Air Force Academy, but that didn't work out. And then I thought about Embry-Riddle, but it was too expensive. Civilian flight training was just too expensive, especially after I had a family and stuff. And so the Navy developed a program for enlisted guys where they would send you to college. You got to keep your pay, and they would pick up the tab for school. Wow. And so I started looking into the program a little more, and I found out that I could actually get guaranteed to come to flight school after college. And so it was a no-brainer after that. Since then, I did 3 years of school, got an engineering degree, all paid for, and now I'm fulfilling my dream down here in Pensacola, going to flight school. So that's very exciting.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And so, how long is flight school? Like, how long does that last, or is it, you know, go over so many years, or?
Right. On average, it's between 18 months and about 28 months, so
okay,
about a year and a half, 2.5 years. It depends. There's some wait time between schools, so, on average, it's about 2 years.
Okay. That's quite a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then on the other side, I owe the Navy six, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, now, your wife had mentioned, you know, that you were kind of what you were in before, it was, like, not necessarily the most fruitful thing for you. Like, certainly it was a good job, you know, made ends meet, that sort of thing, but it was kind of, you weren't waking up in the morning excited to go to work necessarily, and that you guys had to kind of really make some sacrifices to do what you're doing now. Could you talk a little bit about, like, what some of those obstacles were that you faced and how you overcame them?
Sure. Probably the biggest obstacle for us was simply the decision to stay in the military, I think. In 2003, my commitment was up, and we were pretty set on getting out of the Navy. And so that was a big obstacle. My wife and I had discussed it a lot. And to be perfectly honest, she was, "Nope, we want to get out." And I said, "Nope, this is the direction we're taking our family." So so she's been a trooper. She's had to sacrifice more than me, I think. But that was probably the biggest one. And some other obstacles were money. I took about $1,000 a month pay cut to go to college and then to come to flight school. That was a huge adjustment.
That's significant.
Another one is I was kind of at the top of the food chain in my old job, and now I'm starting at ground zero again. So, you know, as a 31-year-old, kind of having to swallow your pride, you know, and listen to kids much younger than you is kind of hard. But all in all, it has been well worth it, at least for me. And I think my family would say so too. They we really enjoy it here in Florida, and the experiences we've had, both through college and then moving down here and that sort of thing, have been well worth the sacrifices. So,
go ahead.
Since we've made that decision, we've decided that we're going to go ahead and fulfill the commitment to retire from the military. So that was another kind of, you know, life-changing decision for us. But, yeah, so far it's been worth it. I love it. I do. I love every minute of it.
That's cool. That's what she said. She said you got the spring in your step now, and they enjoy seeing it. You got to have that support for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when we started out and Kim was teaching, we were living on her kindergarten teaching salary, and I was drawing cartoons, and having Kim support me was, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to make it. But I think, like, what's really cool is here you're just a regular example, because what you're speaking to is there's a lot of people who might want to do something else. But it's always easier to kind of look at, well, you know, the things you mentioned. Well, I'm going to have a pay cut, and we got to commit more time, and we've got to – I'm going to be the low man on the totem pole, like, so there won't be as much perks, I guess you could say. And most people, I think, would use those as excuses to kind of stay in the status quo. So I think it's really cool to talk to you as someone who has said, okay, these are some issues. Let's – get past them, and the benefit then afterwards of being able to do something that you really enjoy is really cool.
Right. Yeah. It's like I said, it was a couple weeks of some, you know, soul searching, but especially in retrospect, it's been well worth it, I think.
That's cool. And it's a cool example for your kids, I think, too, that, you know, you don't have to stick with the same thing. You know, if you have different dreams or your dreams change, or, you know, something you've always wanted to do, I think that example for them is just really amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, they know that it's always been my dream to fly. Now they're seeing me do it, especially the older kids have seen, you know, what it was like before and what it's like now. And, yeah, I totally agree with you. It kind of lets them know that, hey, I can do it, what I want, you know.
Yeah, that's
a great example.
Well, I have this secret dream of always have wanted to fly as well. And, you know, I'm not in flight school, but that doesn't rule out that it won't happen someday. And my dad is totally a airplane junkie. Like, we went to air shows, like, growing up, and weren't too far from the Oshkosh Airport, which is, you know, the big one around here.
Yeah.
So what is it like to fly? Like, is it everything you dreamed of, and what's it like up there?
It's amazing. It's about all I can say.
Yeah.
Being up in the air in the airplane is just, it's beautiful. It's kind of hard to describe. It's imagine yourself floating in a pool, except for, you know, you don't have the weight of the water around you. It's just, you know, you're just up there, you can see everything, and it's amazing. I never want to come down whenever I'm flying. I'm like, oh, we gotta land. Dang it. You know? It's as far as controlling an aircraft, a lot more than I thought. You gotta pay attention to a lot more. It's not all rainbows and
yeah.
and stuff, you know, looking out the window the whole time. But
a few instrument panels there, I would imagine, huh?
Yeah. A few gauges you gotta check, you know, and the whole turbulence and that kind of thing you got to be aware of, but even so far I've been flying, we've had a couple of kind of I wouldn't say intense but interesting moments, but even through all that I love it. It's amazing. Little getting used to as far as in your stomach when your plane drops out from under you a little bit, you know, but if you can overcome that stuff, it's just an amazing feeling.
Now what are you flying, and how fast are you flying?
Well, so far, basically the program works is you show up in Pensacola, and they want to make sure that you, one, don't get airsick, and two, as we kind of say in the Navy, you possess the most basic skills to fly. Can you take off? Can you land? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the only thing I've actually flown is a Piper Warrior, which is a single-engine low-wing plane.
Okay.
Max speed about 120 knots, so...
Okay.
Nothing, no jets, no nothing crazy like that.
We gotta work up to that. Yeah.
The next aircraft I'll fly is called a T-34, and it's same thing, single engine, low wing, but it's got about, I don't know, 5 or 6 times the horsepower as the other plane. So that's when you start getting into the acrobatic flight, where they start teaching you to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do in an airplane, that sort of thing. So
okay.
So you actually learn how to do some of the acrobat stuff?
The stall, the hammerhead stalls and loops and all, we do all that kind of stuff. And,
oh my goodness. That's,
yeah. So wow. I'm very excited for that.
Wow.
So,
that is a kid's dream, you know? Well, maybe not yours, Jason, but it was mine. That's awesome.
Every day I'm like, I can't believe they pay me to do this. It's amazing.
It's like you're got the getting away with murder there. You got your hand in the cookie
jar. Yeah, exactly.
Is this real?
I get to collect a paycheck at the end of the day.
I know.
That's awesome.
Well, I think it's clearly you've gotten to a place where there's some joy coming from your career.
Yes.
What would you say to someone maybe who's listening, who's kind of on the fence, that they wake up every morning and the alarm goes off and they're like, ugh, and then, but there's something else they know they'd want to do, but there's maybe a laundry list of reasons why they can't or why it might be hard. What advice would you give that person?
Well, the first advice, and this might sound kind of strange, but make sure that if you're going to make a change, it is something you want to do, because there would be nothing worse than going from bad to worse. But if, you know, deep down it's something you've dreamed about, you know you love it, you want to do it, don't get sidetracked by the what ifs. What if, like in my case, what if I don't graduate college? What if I am too old to be a pilot? What if, you know, you could what if yourself all day long. And like you guys said, before you know it, you're 15 years down the road, and now it's too late. Mm-hmm. So if you have a goal, figure out how to get there, either sit down with yourself or your family or whatever and say, okay, this is where I want to be. This is what it takes to get there. We have to do X, Y, and Z to do it. Let's do it. Let's not sit in this rut and just waste away. Mm-hmm. You gotta look ahead and not behind. That's the best thing I could say. I got pretty discouraged in college. We were taking 20, 21 credits a semester.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Working from, 5:30, 6 in the morning till 7, 8 at night every day. And there were times where I thought, this really isn't worth it. But man, just something you want to do, seize it, go for it, do it, and just put everything you have into it. And then, once you get to the other side, there's no comparison. You just be so happy with life.
That's a great point. I think that's something people mistake, is that when they're following a path that they're really interested in, then there's some sort of adversity that they take that as a sign that maybe they're not supposed to be doing that. And really, right. there's a certain, if it's almost like the universe or God or whatever someone wants to call it is testing you to say, do you really want this?
Right.
And there's a dip to get over. There's a hurdle. And once you do that, then things kind of click. And so I think that's huge. Just to realize that's not necessarily a sign to close the door if things get hard.
Well, anything that's worth something, it takes work. It takes effort.
Yeah.
If your dream is to do something and it takes no effort to get there, you're just going to be stuck in the same rut you were before.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your blood, sweat, and tears into it, you're just going to enjoy it that much more, I think.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. Well, it's very obvious that you and your wife, I mean, just sneaking around on your blogs and reading and hearing stuff. I mean, you guys are doing an awesome job fighting adultitis, especially with your family. And so what do you have any favorite strategies that you would want to share that, are just some tips for other families who are like, wow, these people, not only are they going after their dreams, but they have a great family and just, you know.
Yeah, especially with six kids and another on the way, you know. What tips do you got for
That's
someone
awesome.
Who's got their first one, you know, barreling down in a couple weeks?
Well, yeah. You guys are due soon, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you guys. Yeah, I'm so excited. You're going to love it. You will love it. There's no better cure for adultitis than having kids. Oh, let me
tell
you.
That's good to know.
It's good to know that, because some people say there's no greater
cause of adultitis.
We're like, you know, it just depends on how you look at it.
The people that say that are already infected with adultitis.
That's true.
I mean.
That's a good point.
Very true.
In our family, what is huge is practical jokes.
Okay.
Huge. That's, if you got a family and you're starting to feel like adultitis is sinking in, you got to start busting out some practical jokes.
yeah.
My oldest is my daughter. She's 13. And it's like, can we one-up each other with practical jokes? Sometimes it borders ridiculous, and my wife has to step in. But
she has two 13-year-olds.
Yeah, 2 13-year-olds, exactly. But practical jokes is probably the best thing for us. And just, I mean, we do not take ourselves seriously. You know, the grocery store, dancing and singing down the aisles, riding the carts around.
Nice.
At home, singing as loud as we can, playing jokes on each other. It's several things we do to stay young and childlike, but practical jokes is probably the best thing.
Is there a classic one that goes down in the record books as one of the best practical jokes in the family?
Let's see. Best practical joke. My wife might have to help me with this one. There isn't really one that stands out. We like to like rubber band the sprayer down.
In the sink.
The sprayer down. Oh, yeah. So when the next person that comes up and turns it on gets a face full. That's a pretty good one.
That works.
Scaring. That's probably the most common one in our family. Like hiding around a corner and jumping out at somebody.
I do that to Kim all the time. She doesn't like that very much though.
My wife did that to me once, and I thought I was going to die because I was in the shower. And I'm usually the first one up, and I'm taking a shower. I got shampoo in my hair and stuff. And she just stuck her face in the curtain, like 2 inches from mine. And so I opened my eyes, and she's right there.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, yeah.
That
it's awesome.
Cruel.
It's
but, good stuff. But keeps the adultitis away. That's a good tip.
I think that causes adultitis.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I don't like to be scared. You did that to me yesterday. You had your head sticking around the corner, and I didn't see you. I like doing it.
That's fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
So easy. So easy. You fall for it every time.
It is an easy one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
April Fool's Day is just, you know.
I can imagine that's awesome at your house. See, we pull the April Fool's joke, and then the kids kind of run with it. And it's, oh, there's a dinosaur behind you. April Fool's, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Can't wait till your kids get older and have better jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun. Well,
yeah.
Good for you guys for keeping it light and just being a cool example for all the people that you run into.
Yep.
That, you know.
Well, and you guys too. We love you guys, and we read your blog every day, and you guys are awesome. You guys are a great example also. And
thank you.
We wish you the best of luck with your new baby, and keep up the good work.
Well, we might need to put you on speed dial for some parenting tips as we go along. So.
Okay.
You wouldn't mind now that we have your phone number, right?
Yeah. Hey, you guys can call anytime. Believe me, we would love to talk to you. So.
Sounds good. Okay, Ryan. Well, thank you for taking the time tonight and chatting with us. We really appreciate it, and give our best to the whole family. And thanks again.
We will. Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Hope to hear from you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.